jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu is no joke. It takes years to master.
Martial arts are a vehicle for developing your human potential. And nothing in my life has ever put me in face with reality better than jiu-jitsu.
Training in BJJ offers a powerful lens through which to examine some primary human concerns: truth versus delusion, self-knowledge, ethics, and overcoming fear.
There's more philosophy in our mats than actually philosophy in any Ivy League school.
Welcome to Shulosophy.
What up, everybody?
And welcome to
the Shulosophy podcast. exciting. It's sunny in London. Sunny in London means there are a lot of clouds, but there is a little bit of sun.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Perfect autumn day. Clean, crisp, and yeah.
And since we're talking a very specific weather from a very specific city, what other better topic to talk about than comparing yourself to others? London would never do that. London is London. So why should you?
It's obvious we don't plan any of this.
Ollie, don't give away our secrets. What are you doing?
Comparing yourself to others. That's the topic of the podcast today.
Yes. And I'd like to start by asking Ollie, what do you think you've learned from jiu-jitsu about comparing yourself to others?
It's a very good question, Ikin. So, as with a lot of things in jiu-jitsu, I recycle information. And I can't remember who said it, but the whole idea of comparing yourself with others is very detrimental. And I think if you scale it right back to the belt system, the reason you can have like a 65-year-old black belt who's been training like 10, 15 years, who can get beat, let's say, by some 25-year-old purple belt and still be a black belt, is the whole point of not comparing yourself to others and basing your jiu-jitsu on how good can your jiu-jitsu be. So, for example, that elderly person is a black belt. They've trained, they know enough, and that their jiu-jitsu is a black belt level based within their limitations. So they are a black belt in their jiu-jitsu, whereas the young purple belt is a purple belt in their jiu-jitsu. And I think that's super important when you start talking about comparing yourself with others, because it is very detrimental. But that being said, let's say you get two guys, maybe one's from the Cotswolds and one's from Mozambique, that start training around very similar times, and they have some very competitive roles, and they compete in the same age category, they compete in the same weight bracket, and they train together every day. Naturally, you're going to start comparing yourself to that person.
Yep.
And it's a dangerous slope to go down, because you need to focus on you and your jiu-jitsu, and you need to take your time, and you need to, you know, celebrate the things you do well, but recognize that you can't be good at everything, and there may be aspects that you're not very good at, but focus on being the best possible jiu-jitsu you can be.
And I think that's quite interesting, because let's say, for example, that guy from Mozambique, guy, you know, like the guy from Cotswolds. It's like, I guess the thing is, there is a thing to be said about comparing yourself in the sense of like, I want to be like that person.
Yeah.
But also being honest about, oh, whatever he's doing in his game, in mm-hmm. how he does things,
mm-hmm.
he's doing it 100%, and yeah. I'm doing 50.
Yeah.
You know
yeah,
what I mean? Yeah. So I think that that's more about, because in a way, it's like, I think jiu-jitsu is also a tool to getting to know yourself,
uh-huh.
to push your limits,
uh-huh.
to see your flaws, like in character, yeah. your flaws, and when you give up too early, all these things, right? But yeah, like some people, like let's say, one thing that I noticed that is interesting is, and I learned this moved me a lot and made me think about things different, is my body, before I even train anything, my body has a certain shape. It has some history of like my ancestors, I don't know. I have long legs,
mm-hmm.
right? My shoulders are maybe not as wide, just naturally. I quite have, I'd say like good cardio, mm-hmm. not too much, not too little. Just naturally. So there are certain positions that I feel comfortable in.
Yeah.
You know, but then you add the things that I've done growing up. Like I played football.
Uh-huh.
But maybe I meet a guy who used to dance ballet his whole life, and he can do all these crazy twists or stuff. Oh, he's just flexible.
Yeah.
And then I'm trying to compare.
It's just not going to work, right?
Exactly.
You've made me think of Iona.
Yeah.
Like, she's, shout out Iona if she listens. Mm-hmm. So she's a yoga teacher and has insane flexibility. It would be ridiculous of me to look at her and be like, well, why can't I do that? Because I've done like 3 yoga sessions in my life.
So it might be a better idea for you to do hip escapes and try to recover guard rather than, I'm going to just go like, you know, on my neck.
Yeah, exactly.
And you won't pass. It's just
It's interesting, though, that you mentioned someone working at 100% and someone working at 50%, because that's actually where I really do agree with you that, like, if you're looking at someone and being like, how are they progressing so fast? And you have the potential to have been progressing as fast, if not more. And the reason is because you're not putting in enough time. And this isn't just jiu-jitsu, like...
Everything.
This is everything, yeah. You want to lose weight, but you're still not doing enough, like... You're not being good with your diet, you're not doing the cardio, you're not doing the weights. That's on you.
And I think the other thing is, like, I don't know where I read this, or, like, if it was just life that taught me. But it's 100%. It's also, I think the thing is honesty.
Yeah. 100%.
Because the thing is, like, 100% for you might be like, okay, it's time for me to go all in on everything. Mm-hmm. But for a guy that has 3 kids and stuff like that, it's like,
absolutely,
with the reality of everything that I can do right now in jiu-jitsu, if that everything is, I can go twice a week. But when I go that twice a week, I give my all attention. I give everything.
Exactly.
And I stretch at home in every 5 minutes that I'm playing with my kids or something. That is his 100%, mm-hmm. But it's like, it's not like, oh, I can't do it, you know, sort of.
Yeah. But what you're talking about there is almost like a negative response to someone who's doing really well, which I actually think is a more reflection. Like, let's say you look at someone that, I don't know, is doing like really, let's just take jiu-jitsu, doing really well in jiu-jitsu, and you look at them and you don't like that, and you start saying like, oh, but you can do this and you can do that. That is slightly different than, like you say, being honest with yourself and recognizing that maybe you do have kids and maybe you can't dedicate the time and maybe you have other things going on.
Mm.
Like, what I think is really interesting sometimes when people start to almost like chip away at someone who's made the decision to do really well at something, it's because that person is a mirror for them. Like, that's all it is. They are just a mirror that gets held up, and then they look in that mirror, and a mirror doesn't judge. A mirror is just a true reflection. It's an honest reflection. And they start to think, man, like, yeah, I could train more, or like, I could you know, go to more sessions, I could take notes, I could watch like DVDs, I could drill. But if they're not, and then again, take jiu-jitsu away, like, let's say, like, if you want to lose weight or you want to run a marathon, and you look at someone and you don't like the fact that they're doing it and you're not, the question is, like, is that because you've made the choice to prioritize other things, or is it because you know you could be doing more? Because oftentimes I look around, especially on the mats, and I think all you've done is you've prioritized jiu-jitsu, and that's cool. But then there are other people that have chosen not to prioritize jiu-jitsu, and that is equally as cool, as long as it's the decision you want to make. Like, if they say, look, I can train 3 times a week, but then actually the other times I want to play football, I want to do this, I want to do that, great. Like, as long as you're happy with that decision. But don't sit there and be like, I want to be really good at jiu-jitsu, and then not turn up and not train.
That's true.
And you know, I think life is just a set of priorities where you say, okay, like, I'm going to work, I'm going to do like my basic survival needs of like food, sleep, I'm going to see people, but then I'm also just going to take this one thing and I'm going to prioritize it massively. And it doesn't have to be jiu-jitsu. It can be something else.
Yeah, and I think the thing, it's also like, the thing I struggle with that is feeling guilty, you know, sort of like,
because
it's like, it's almost like this thing of, oh, am I, like, if I give so much to this, and it's like almost like being like, it's okay, you know, because, I mean, also, it has consequences, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's like also like being honest about, are these consequences so bad that I might regret it or not? But then
it's a leap of faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're saying, I'm going to invest all my time in this, and then there's almost like an expectation from others that you should be good, you know. But that's their issue. That's their problem. But that's their assessment.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have, there's no like set amount of time you need to be good at something. you know, if you say I want to invest my time at this, then it's more about, you know, the love of what you do, and it doesn't necessarily mean you have to turn around and get people's approval. It's, you know,
I guess that's a really interesting thing. I think I was watching some videos on, man, like, I don't know where I went. I don't know how I ended up there on YouTube, but it's
we've all been in that
exactly.
place.
It's like exposing a fitness guru, right? It's just like this guy, he goes on. So I think I told you, so I used to be like really overweight. So there was one guy that I did like his gym program,
mm-hmm.
and I lost like 30 kgs. So I just like was looking at like some of his videos and stuff. And now he does these videos where he exposes people in the fitness industry. I'm forgetting his name. It's actually can't say his second name. It's too weird for me to say. I don't know how to say it. But then he was like talking about some of these guys, and one of the things that he was saying, it's like the thing that he struggles with in with the fitness people in Instagram is you only see the end result.
Yeah. You don't see any of the effort and the sacrifice and the hard work and they're not going and doing something. And it's those priorities, right? Like they're saying, okay, I'm going to prioritize this. Like there's three or four things in my life I can prioritize and this is going to be one of them.
But I think one thing that happens is, you know, like when you're scrolling mm-hmm. or when you're doing things, I don't think it happens consciously mm-hmm. where you notice like, oh, I am comparing myself to this person.
Yeah. It's a really hard thing not to do.
Not to do, right? Yeah. But it's like, especially like with routines that we have every day, I think that's how we compare ourselves to others.
Yeah.
And then maybe sometimes you feel like, maybe I'm not where I am. But it's like you're not looking at it from where was I yesterday? Where
exactly.
am I today?
Exactly. And that's why jiu-jitsu is brilliant, in my opinion, because you can't, there's no real solid argument for, let's say, you have like a blue belt and a white belt, and the white belt catches the blue belt, and it's like, oh, you're not a blue belt. Yes, you are. Like, you're a blue belt. You put your time in, you've done the work, and you're a blue belt because your jiu-jitsu is blue belt, you know, based on you. Because if that was the case, and it was like, you have to be able to tap every single blue belt, like go get some of the absolute killers that like turn up and smash every competition. Like it just doesn't make any sense, doesn't it? You can't square someone off against someone else.
I was watching the Khabib fight last night with Josh and Miles. As soon as Khabib wins, Josh just turns around. He's a white belt. It's like, but
that's all you need. A white belt's all you need to win a UFC title.
And that fight was one of the things that made me think a lot about, for example, focusing on doing you.
Yeah.
Sort of what he did was the extreme basics. And I watched an interview before the fight where they asked him, "How do you feel about how do you feel about the fight?" And he was like, "I've been working on my stand up."
Mm-hmm.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a way better boxer now.
Mm-hmm.
And I know people say that I'm one of the greatest grapplers. I am 1,000 times better.
Mm.
Now, one thing with a guy like Khabib is that you look and what he's doing is so basic that when he says, "I'm doing 1,000 times better," it's probably like things that you can't see with your eyes.
Yeah,
only the guy
yeah.
who's fighting him can feel it. Because it's like a little twist on the hip and a little bit of his head moving forward. But it's like night and day, right?
Yeah.
But it's super basic. And that's the way he fights. And the other thing they asked him, I actually thought of you when they asked him. They're like, because the fight was supposed to be Tony Ferguson Pryor, and then it was just engaged.
Yeah.
Did anything change? And he said, "I am champion. Champion does not matter who comes in front of me. I have to beat him.
Yeah.
I don't care about these guys. Yeah. I train my game and nobody's going
to
stop it."
Yeah. There's a few people that said that to me.
Yeah.
Like Pat, when he was talking about how he got ranked number one at Blue Belt, he was like, "I didn't care. It doesn't matter. I don't think about the other guys. I think about me and I train for me." And John Kavanagh, in his book, was saying, like he told a story where he was like doing a jiu-jitsu competition and the opponent kept changing and the promoter kept ringing him like, it's this person, and it changed so much that in the end he said, "Look, I don't care, I'm just going to show up on the night, just make sure you've got someone." And then that's the tactic he employed for the rest of his career, especially with Conor. as well. Like, so when like they had the last minute change with Aldo, I think it was, he's like, I don't care. Like, just make sure someone's there on the night.
You know, where is like, I noticed that a lot of times when insecurity creeps in, and you don't feel confident, that's when you start worrying about what if he does this, or maybe I should train this. Yeah. This is not jiu-jitsu related, but like the lesson, the idea is in the same thing. So I was like focusing on, I said for 1 year, I'm going to learn screenwriting. But I always write with voiceover. I don't know why. Right? But it's like, maybe it's what comes natural to me.
Yeah.
But I was like, I should take this out. And I think I just started writing less because I was reading books on how to write
without this,
how to, and it's like, I think.
That's funny, isn't it? You were reading a book on how to write when actually maybe you should have just been writing.
Exactly. And along the way, if I just kept writing,
yeah,
I was like, okay, let me try, how is my way of writing without voiceover? But if my way of writing with voiceover, that's, it's like, what if it's like the Khabib thing where it's like, I'm going to shoot for single and doubles, you know? But it's like, no matter who's in front of me,
it
can't sprawl only once. It's going to the floor, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's like a lot of times it's insecurity doesn't sound or seem like insecurity. Fear doesn't, when you're in that state, just hits your amygdala and you're like, oh my God, yeah, maybe I should do this. But it's like, you don't think, oh, I'm in fear right now.
Let me
take a step back.
Recognizing fear is one of the best ways to deal with it and to be okay with the fact that, like, you feel like your legs are heavy, your breathing is elevated. Like, you can recognize and be like, yeah, okay, like, I should be doing that. That's what Danny used to say. He was like, one of the best competitions I ever had was when he was completely and utterly present. And he was like, I'm nervous, but I should be nervous, and that's okay. So you're just so aware of it, you're so in tune. And he said he had just had one of the best competitions because he was like, okay, now's the time to get excited. And then you're so aware and present. One of the things I was going to say, we should recognize, like, how easy it is to sit here and say, don't compare yourself to other people, but how hard it is to actually put it into practice.
By the way, we are talking about ourselves.
Yeah.
Like, all these things are things that we do, right?
So 100%, 100%. It's really tricky not to watch someone go past you and think, what did I do wrong? Like, it's a really tricky thing to look at. And I don't really have a solution other than...
And to be honest, I was thinking about it today, in a sense, I was watching some tutorial. I think it was the Lachlan Giles, right?
Lachlan Giles.
I can't even pronounce his name. Jesus Christ. So the thing is, he was talking about pretty much, I think Danny also talks about a lot about this. It's like when I'm framing a guard against you, it's like layers that you have to go through.
Uh-huh.
So it's like I have to think that the more steps you have to get past my guard, the more I have to recover and the more time I have to attack, right? And it's like that is something that is very specific to every person. I have my own guard.
Yeah,
I have things that are easier to me to put as steps to you.
Yeah,
and it's just like I can think as much as I want, but then the only way is like I just have to repeat it.
Yeah,
and get like embarrassed.
Exactly.
And then one day, I'll just hit it.
Yeah.
Right, and then just hit it again.
Isn't it funny though?
Hit it again.
Like, isn't it funny when you start off in jiu-jitsu and someone shows you something? And then you try to do it 100%. Like, in no other profession or sport or hobby or activity. Like, if someone gave you a violin, you wouldn't just suddenly try and, like, you just go really slow and you practice getting, like, the movements and the fingers. And then you'd practice, like, phrasing. And then eventually you would, like, be able to pull a tune out. But when someone, like, goes and goes, right, okay, like, this is what you do to do a choke or to set up a number, and you go 100%. You're like, it just makes no sense.
And you expect that, I saw it, I do it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like about, and it's a really complex thing.
That's so crazy. It's the same as if you're watching Beyonce.
Yeah. Like, someone goes like, okay, go sing. And you're
and it's like, no, just singing, dancing, jumping around, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, oh, stop the song and you just start doing it exactly the same.
I think John Danaher talks about that, but he's talking about panic. He's like, if I got you to do a math situation, you wouldn't panic. Panic wouldn't help you or solve the problem. He's like, when you find yourself in a bad situation in jiu-jitsu, like, people panic. And it's understandable because, again, like adrenaline and fight and like you, it's a very different situation to a math problem. But the point he's making is pretty sound, which is in no other situation does panicking help. So you need to try and employ that into jiu-jitsu and remove the sense of panic.
One thing I was thinking now, like especially like you before training jiu-jitsu, you used to lift heavy things, right? You used to be a big boy.
Weight got moved.
So I think that might have come across to you an idea when you first started sparring.
Was, 100%.
Oh, maybe I can just throw him.
100%. Right? Yeah. Well, that's where the whole believe in biceps thing came, because Danny got so sick and tired of me trying to like muscle everything. He was like, bro, like you really need to stop trying to bicep your way through everything. And I, as a joke, was like, nah, believe in biceps. Yeah. But he's true. Like, trust me, if there was a way to just like muscle your way through a move, I'd have been there, because it's the first thing I try and do. I try and do that.
Do you think like that's a good example? Because like, you probably weren't thinking, I'm going to muscle my way through it.
No, 100% not. Like, you kind of think it makes sense, like strength, ferocity, like blah. But if you're doing the move fundamentally wrong, all you're doing is the move really wrong with a lot of strength and intensity. Yeah. But a bad move is just a bad move, no matter what pace you go. And he was right. Technique, slow it down, focus in on it. And then once you know how to do it, then you can start to add, you know, the strength or the pressure or... you know, the pain.
Because that's one thing like I noticed changed a lot in your game. It's like, it's not like you got less strong. You're still as strong, but you don't rely as much on it.
No, because you can't. Because if you go up against someone that's stronger than you and your technique is bad, then it's just not going to work. It really is not going to work. And that's a really hard lesson to learn.
But I guess in reality, like, it took like a time. It's just like doing it over and over, catching yourself, and then next thing you know, you like probably didn't even notice anymore that I'm trying to power my way through.
That touches on something I think about a lot, actually. Our coaches see everything. Like, they see us do well, but more importantly, do they see us learn? And I would say like 90 to 95% of that is mistakes and bad stuff. And like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They are in like almost like a really privileged position. But for us, they see everything. They see every wrong move, every mess up, every like piece of absolute rubbish you try and pull off. They get to witness that all. And for you, there's no point having some like weird ego or like imagination of what you are, because you can't hide from that when they see it all happen.
I tend to get carried away by like flashy things, you know, like sort of like leg lock from say somewhere where you're like, I'm gonna roll into the seminary, and it's like, bro, recover guard. You know, it's like,
how many times, bro? I saw this thing on YouTube.
Exactly. And it's like I feel like that's one thing I've been working on. It's like it's that, and also getting too excited way too early, right? Like, oh, just go.
Yeah. And you rush like, it.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's really trying to think of, I am at step one. I need to get to step three.
Mm-hmm.
What are the options in front of me? Like really trying to think, and it's like, it's actually, okay, even if for the next few months, things slow down, maybe I don't get what I want, but I understand what's going on.
Yeah, and I think that's it. Understanding what's going on, it's almost like someone's giving you the answers to a test sometimes. Like, I remember Cyborg, he did something where he was basically doing a pass. He dropped the shoulder, you switch the hips, and then you hold him in side control. And he was like, what they're basically going to do is they're going to load up and they're going to push three times, like really heavily. And you just got to ride it. Then you progress. I remember one time in a competition, I got into that position. I just remember him saying it. And I was like, okay, I'm going to wait. And sure enough, the guy pushed three times and then I progressed. And it was almost like, it literally was like someone gave me the answer, but you just have to, you have to employ that patience, like think about it.
And it's like, the thing also like with something like jiu-jitsu is like, let's say, you can't just talk about it, right? Like, it's like only by like doing it, it's like you, because it's like, you know, I think that if I shot, I remember like, there was one time when lockdown just started, I was like shooting in the park by myself, and I sent a text to the group. I was like, oh man, I think my takedowns are getting better. And you said, of course, there is no one that you're taking down. You're just shooting air, shooting through air. Of course, they're getting better. Like, but yeah, like, it's really interesting. There are many champions who won. Like, I mean, I keep talking about this guy because one of my favorite fighters, Bernardo Faria, only pulls half guard, gets the sweep, passes guard, and finishes against the best ever.
Yeah.
That's all he does. Roger Gracie mounts, and it's like, they found what works for them, and I guess what works for them, it's what they like. And I guess like what you like also makes a big difference, because when I like something, I want to train it. I want to improve it.
It's tricky though, especially for myself at the lower belts, where it's like, I sometimes feel myself doing something and it makes perfect sense. Like, I'm not saying I'm insanely good at it, but I see it and I'm like, okay, yeah, I understand that. And then that helps me, you know, do it a bit better than if I'd have struggled with it. And I sometimes see a game or a guard that I really struggle with, and I think what's important is you at least have to know
everything,
you know, as much as you possibly can, because then you can start to refine and choose your game and go where you want to go.
Yeah, because I also think like the other thing that can happen is like your ego can be like, oh no, I am the spider guard guy.
Yeah I'm this guy.
It's like, what it's like, and
I always think that though, like, what if something happens and like you can't be the spider guy? Or some, you go up against some guy and he's better at getting past spider guard than you are at spider guard. Like, what's your fallback?
Yeah, who's gonna help you? Have you ever heard of the Pareto principle?
The what, sorry?
Pareto principle.
No, sir.
So it's 80-20 principle. I'm gonna butcher this, but this is this guy in Italy called Pareto a long, long time ago. Before I was born, or Ollie was born, and he was like, I think he used to live in a village or something. He was a mathematician, and he was trying to understand sort of like, in terms of what in that certain village or in certain villages had more leverage, I guess, in terms of economy, what farmers produced more, and he realized that 20% of farmers were responsible for 80% of results from village to village, and then he started looking at other fields. And like now, it's like it's this idea that in most things, like in a football team, 20% of the players are responsible for 80% of the results.
Wow.
In business as well. There are some businesses that are cutthroat. They fire their clients and they stick only with the 20%.
Really?
Yeah, there's a company that what they do is they take the blame over the results after. So they only focus on hiring. That's their Pareto 20%, right? So it's like, if someone on the team is doing bad, they fire the person, but they're like, I'm sorry, we did a mistake. You are not a perfect, you don't suit this team. And then they just focus on hiring. And they're like, if we focus on hiring and we get the people that get the culture and they work like how we want, most of everything else would take care of itself.
That's really interesting.
And it's like, so I remember when it, for me, jiu-jitsu is overwhelming. Like, especially in the beginning.
It's so huge.
So much to learn. So I remember, I think it was last year, I said, okay, what if I just, because I remember two things. It was Faria and Ali. Ali was saying that he used to be in love with triangles when he was blue belt. But then someone said, you can't just train that because you're going to get stuck there. Yeah. Faria said for him it was close guard, but then when he found half guard, he's like, I found my world here.
Yeah.
And he also mentioned the 80-20. I was like, okay, what if I did only half guard for a year?
And you did.
And that's what I did. But one thing I found is that by learning how to do half guards, I have to learn how to get back to half guards when I'm in other guards.
I have to
learn how to throw someone on the floor where I go to the position that I get to right after half guard. Or so it's like I started understanding things, like, because I'm not like the fight just doesn't happen only in half guard. I have to recover the guard, right? I have to recover the guard. So like I noticed that just by that, I learned how to recover guard better.
Yeah.
And then when I was in other guards,
yeah,
worst case scenario, I can always get back to half guard.
Yeah.
Or worst case scenario, when I'm in other guards and I have to get to other guards, I would have to think, if I was trying to get half guard, what would I have to stop so that they wouldn't pass and then I can get my grips?
Then
I was like, okay, I want to get single legs. If this was half guard, I have to trap this side. Okay, I get this. So it's like I noticed that, yes, I'm not a master yet, right?
Yet.
Unless
knocking on the door.
Exactly, right? But yeah, so.
Danny was talking about this. Danny was saying like he loves single leg X, like, and he feels really confident from there. So then he was saying you get really good at single leg X, and then you get good at setting up single leg X, and then you get good at someone throwing you a problem, and then how do you get to that position, and then it leads to single leg X, and that's what you train, and that becomes your game.
And you know what I was thinking also? It's like, because the thing is, we are impatient. But bro, realistically, if I train half guard from white belt to black belt, that's not all I'm going to do all day. Like, as long as I do what you said, like, sort of, I know everything. I understand everything. I understand what's happening in other positions. So that I can go there. And throughout time, I'll get interested in other things I'll do. Like, now, I'm not so into half guard, but still.
Psych.
Yeah, but it's like, you will get in other positions. But it's like, it's just like a thought of, oh, what is that? 20%, like today, if I could only train 30 minutes, what would give the most of the results?
That's really interesting. Yeah. I guess it depends on your goal, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
If you want to compete, then my opinion is you need to have a game. You need to like try and get somewhere. And if your half guard is the place you want to get to, great. If single X is the place you want to get to, great. You just need to have a goal and then work towards there.
That's true. But I mean, it's like also like that, I guess, gets to like the comparing yourself thing. Because Billy the other day was saying, remember, like, he was talking about some guy that was gifted in jiu-jitsu.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, maybe that I'm not sure if someone just walks in a gym and just beats everyone up. But perhaps someone walks in a gym and he has good coordination.
Yeah. But Billy, Ugly Billy, shout out Ugly Billy, is a great example of someone who's just like progressed rapidly, like put the time in, put the effort in, put the work in, and everyone recognized the fact that he's just gone through this like massive curve, upward trend.
Remember his first competition? He didn't get nervous.
No, I know, yeah.
He didn't get nervous. He just went there, he did what he does.
Fun.
Yeah, and
good for him.
Yeah, like he just like left the thing, and it's like, at no point he was like, oh my god, I'm about to go in, or like fidgety.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, bye guys. What happened? It's like a...
But then let's take Ugly Billy as an example of someone that's probably in every single gym. Like, if you are a higher belt and there's a white belt that gets really good and starts not just like giving you a hard time, but maybe catching you with stuff, that's probably quite tricky. And you're probably going to think like, man, how did that happen? Why did that happen? And it is tough, it is hard, and I imagine like it's something you've got to work, everyone has to work through. But again, you just got to be thinking like you can't compare that one segment to the bigger picture of what your jiu-jitsu is. Like, it's not how it works. Like, and if anything, you should be encouraging those guys to be as good as they possibly can, because the only thing that's going to happen is that you will get better. It's the whole ships rise with the tide, right? If the tide is your level of knowledge, the gym's level of knowledge, and the gym's level of knowledge and training ability is high, then all the ships are high with it. Everyone rises with it.
Also, the thing that's tricky with belts is it's so different for everyone. Like, Someone can be a white belt for 10 years and be a blue belt for 2.
Yeah.
And then someone can be a blue belt for 10 years yeah. and be a purple belt for 1.
The belts are cool, and I think they're needed and they're necessary for sure. I think sometimes people get misled by them, and like they think, I should be a certain thing, or I should be this. And sometimes they're right and sometimes they're really wrong. And I think it's honest evaluation of yourself and what you want and what you can and can't do.
You know, I remember, I think about almost 2 years ago, Lawrence...
Lorenzo.
Yeah. He closed all his social media and he stopped watching videos.
Cool.
He stopped watching all tutorials, everything. Just focused on getting better at his game.
Yeah.
And he's like, we're talking about just saying like, man, I have improved so much because of this.
Yeah.
But I guess what he meant was he's improved in the sense of he wasn't so worried about these multiple things that could happen.
Yeah,
he was
just
sharpening his focus tools, training. Right? Because I think we are like, I mean, as I told you, like I just got lost in some YouTube thing about lifting weights. I'm not even lifting weights. I'm not even interested, right? It's like this idea that it is easy to get, like there's so much information, bro.
Mm-hmm.
So much. There are like so many YouTube clips, so many. And it's just like, I guess a little bit of like, what is important for me, like, and for my goals. It's like, and also, the thing about Lawrence was saying, he said after that, when he went to his first competition, he did so much better.
Really?
Like, yeah, he was just more focused.
I'm a big believer in focus drilling, though. Like, me and Ugly Billy were talking about it. Like, what's the point in coach show, like, spending a week showing you, like, this one specific sequence, and then you go to drill, and you drill something completely different, like... Why not drill what you've been showing? Get really good at that, and like that's the time and the opportunity to do that. I do remember Dom telling me something once, which I think was really, really good. Which was, he focuses on his progression and he celebrates his progression. He doesn't like look around and like judge based on like what other people are doing and what's happening there. When he gets better at something, he recognizes that and he celebrates that. And I think that's a really nice way to approach it.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's, you want to be competitive, but you also have to be honest. It's like, you know, like sort of like, I am, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I think that competitive is also very good.
Mm.
You know, if there's someone pushing you, challenging you, and you are very similar in ability, that's great.
Are you challenging me right now? Why are you looking me in the eye like this?
You want to throw down?
Jesus, man. This guy want to get his card passed. Well, man, you know, before coming to this topic, I remember I wanted, like, I was listening to some rap song, and the guy was like, don't compare yourself to others. It didn't sound this corny, because it's like a gangster rap song. I actually thought of reading the verse, but I was not going, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to butcher.
You're going to read as a poem?
I'm going to read you guys a poem. I just need to find the poem.
Poetry with Ike.
You know what I mean? Jesus.
Poetry Ike.
Oh, you just say it started... Made it sound like all kinds of ways. So, I'm going to get it here from my phone. And this is a poem.
Take your time, bro. We can wait.
Yeah, I was trying to be smooth. Like, just pull out the phone. The poem is ready. And I'm like, what is this poem?
I'm sure we'll edit this bit out.
This is a poem by Charles Bukowski. Nobody but you. Nobody can save you but yourself. You will put again and again into nearly impossible situations. They will attempt again and again to make you submit, quit, or die quietly inside. Nobody can save you but yourself. And it will be easy enough to fail. So very easily. But don't. Don't. Just watch them. Listen to them. Do you want to be like that? A faceless, mindless, heartless being? Do you want to experience death before death? Nobody can save you but yourself. And you're worth saving. It's a war not easily won. But if anything is worth winning, then this is it. Think about it. Think about saving yourself.
Bro. Man, we should have started with that poem. How good is that?
So, guys, that's it. Stay on your path. Oh, God. No. Oh, my God. Wait. I got to add the rhymes. Like, it's not said it better than me.
Naz, so you do surprise me.
To continue.
Nah, bro, that was seriously good. Seriously good.
You know, like in the words of Naz, after that poem, I gotta say, you can't please everybody. And nobody, okay. In the words of Naz, as he said, keep doing what you do. You can't please everybody, and not everybody is you. Don't try to force a square into a peg. In a round circle. That shit will hurt you. Okay, forget the Naz part. Okay, we're not gonna put that part of the podcast, right?
Yeah, sure.
Are we gonna do this? Jesus Christ, bro! What the fuck? Anyways, thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Ollie, thank you so much for sharing this moment with me.
Thank you, Ike.
The way you were looking at me when I was reading that poem, oh my God.
That was, I love... I think poetry with Ike could become a repeat occurrence.
Okay, guys, so we'll see you next episode. Stay safe in these streets. Bye.
Peace.